Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to this afternoon's presentation, Marketing Strategies for the New Decade. I am joined here with Mr. Rick Ellis. Rick is a 20-year veteran of the martial arts and holds the rank of sixth-degree black belt. He is also a martial arts advisory team member and owner of Sugarland Taekwondo Academy in Texas. Rick is also a proud member of Tiger Rock Martial Arts International, formerly known as the International Taekwondo Alliance. Today, Rick will be discussing marketing strategies you can use for your school. He'll talk about traditional marketing methods that still work and let you know which ones to throw out. He'll also discuss new media, specifically how to use social media sites like Twitter and Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mr. Rick Ellis. The floor is all yours, Rick.
Thanks, Kristen. Well, like many of those on the call today, I'm sure I am a very proud customer of Member Solutions. I think you guys are extremely customer-oriented and you're very responsive to my needs, and it's much appreciated. So I'm thrilled to be a part of anything else that Member Solutions has going on. So, yeah, the topic is marketing, the new and the old. And what I'd like to start with is just to recommend that everybody take out a pen and paper and be ready to take some notes. Also, at the end, I'll give my email address, and if you want, I'll be happy to send out my outline to anybody who requests it. In business school, they teach that marketing is not just advertising. Advertising can be marketing, but marketing can definitely be more than advertising. So everything that affects the public's perception of your company, good or bad, is marketing. So your staff's attire or your own attire off the mat, that's marketing. When somebody walks into your school, they begin to form an opinion about you before you ever speak, and it's important that you control that opinion with your own efforts. So if your academy's clean, that's marketing. If you have a neat and professional dress, if you speak the proper English and avoid double negatives in your speech and things like that, that's all part of a marketing plan. So when you make those mistakes, you're setting your company back with your customer before you've ever started telling them what a great instructor you are. So what works and what doesn't is what we need to talk about, and what do we all do moving forward. And I want to stress that these are just my opinions. So, you know, as they say, your mileage may vary. I tell people all the time, I am not a very bright man. Just ask my wife. And it is inevitably true that there are many smart people out there, and I want to learn from you as much as I hope you learn from me. Now, I do believe that these are reliable opinions based on my experience. I'm fortunate and blessed enough to run a very large martial arts academy. I also have, through my relationship with Tiger Rock Martial Arts International, a very large network of school owners, and many of them find that the items in this outline are very accurate. So the first question that I would ask is, what's your goal with marketing? If I was to answer that question for myself, it would be to get new students, but also, and more importantly, to keep the ones that I have and keep them engaged in my program. So I want to talk first about old methods that we may like to reevaluate. And again, I'll remind you, if these are working for you, I'm thrilled to hear that. I can only tell you that I'm starting to lose faith in them myself. First on the list is newspapers. Newspapers all over America are going out of business. If they're not going out of business, they're replacing their print versions with internet versions. I live in a bedroom community. Sugarland, Texas is a suburb of Houston, Texas. Most of the people who live in my town travel into Houston for work. It's 20, 30 minutes away. But we have our own local neighborhood newspaper, and there was a time when running an ad in that newspaper made a lot of sense for my company. But today, most people I know run that newspaper over with their car a couple of times, and then they throw it into the trash. So it's not a method that I use anymore. Another one that I'd tell you that I think has kind of lost its sizzle is ValPak and other similar direct marketing envelopes. When you open those up and you examine the context, it's mostly national ads, mostly regarding home improvement. And, you know, it may lead to a lack of proper exposure for your company. You may be able to spend your advertising dollars in other ways. Unfortunately for my friend who sells Yellow Page ads, Yellow Pages, I think, are going the way of the dinosaur. Google AdWords is probably a better method, for example. We're going to talk about that later. for marketing your company, and the old style Yellow Pages is out. I can't really remember the last time myself personally that I've used the Yellow Pages to find a vendor for anything for my family. I typically will start with Google, and that usually solves my problem. I would imagine that most people are the same way. So we'll talk about Google more later, but I would encourage you to do the following. Reduce your listing in your Yellow Pages to the lowest price that makes sense for you. For me, I've gone from having huge display ads to simply having a bold line listing in the phone book on the rare occasion that somebody opens up that book looking for my number. If you feel like you really have to have a display ad, I would ask for a ridiculously low price. And just know that if push comes to shove, you're probably not going to get hurt by just being listed as a line item in the Yellow Pages. I know many of you have definitely tuned in to hear about social media, and I promise we're going to talk about that before. But I really want to make sure you understand that it's not the secret answer to all your prayers. There are still things out there that we can be doing offline that are very, very effective in our communities. So if newspapers and Yellow Pages and ValPak don't work, the question becomes what does work? And I want to kind of get the easy ones out of the way first. I really believe, and I feel very strongly, I'm an opinionated person, but if you're not doing any of these, I really want you to spend some time seriously looking at how you spend your day. The days in our industry of sleeping till noon, rolling in and teaching class at 3, going home at 8, those days are over. Your martial arts academy should be a 12 to 15 hour a day job. But hey, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right? So 12 to 15 is easy. So let's talk about what does work. Flyer campaigns. We flyered the heck out of our town the weeks before and the weeks of the premiere of The Karate Kid. I can tell you that we're having the best summer in 5 years. As of this morning, we have 80 summer members, and many of them came through our school with flyers in hand. Off topic, but we also were able to have a booth in our movie theater so that when people came out of the movie excited about martial arts, there we were with promotional materials for our summer program in hand. So I hope everybody really leveraged this movie for the quick time that it was on the national radar and got people into your schools. But back onto flyers, I do think that they're still relevant, but I do think that you need to change how you do it. An example is I think post-it note style flyers are superior to putting things on people's windshield wipers or, God forbid, the dreaded door hanger, which I think is, I have nightmares about the early days of opening my school. I hung door hangers every morning for a year. The other thing that you need to do is you need to target your demographic with your flyer campaign. So if you're promoting your kids' program with flyers on cars at the movies, you'd be better off doing that on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon than you would be on Friday night. Now, the next thing on my list is demonstrations, and demonstrations are still great, but I think we need to tweak what you do a little bit. The first question you have to ask yourself is, who am I trying to attract? My answer to that would be a child between 4 and 12, as well as perhaps getting their parent onto my mat. So when you do a demonstration, what they see matters. What do you want people to associate with your company's name? If you want to be known in your town as the guy who can break the most bricks, be my guest. I would love to have you as a competitor. I want to be known as the guy that teaches great lessons. So at my demonstrations, I teach. We do a brief, and I mean a brief demonstration, and then we follow that with an invitation from kids to the audience to come onto the stage and participate in their own lesson. Now, that lesson is not a physical lesson. It's typically a lesson about bowing and respect and focus, very similar to some of the mat chats that I'm sure many of you give on your mat in the academy. And that's what I want to do when I do a demonstration is give them a brief glimpse into what life on our mat is like, and so they can envision themselves doing the same. Press releases are important, but to the right outlets. We said that newspapers are losing their punch, and I still agree that's true. But there are definitely other outlets, magazines that serve your local area. We have magazines specific to our community that we send press releases to. as well as TV and radio stations in our area. Be sure that the press release doesn't appear to be too self-serving. It should be mostly about the good works that you and your students are doing in the community and not about the great summer program or back-to-school program that you have, because you won't get any exposure from those. And then the next one that I have on my list is I'm really kind of surprised. It's old, but I think a lot of people still don't use it. And so the first question I would have you ask yourself is, who is your real competitor? I don't really hold true that the other martial arts school down the street is really my competitor. I believe that my real competitor is Little League and soccer and Pee Wee football and hockey and even dance teams and those kinds of things. So I say fight fire with fire. I think you should sponsor those people when they come to you for sponsorships. You used to spend $250 a month or $500 a month, or some of my friends spend $1,000 a month on Yellow Page ads. Take those monies now and sponsor these sports teams and dance teams and academic teams. But, you know, I would definitely encourage you to do it right. The first thing I would say is don't wait for those teams to ask you. Sit down. Right now in the summer is a great time to do this. Fall ball's going to start when school starts. And make a list of all the area city little leagues. My community services about three different cities. And so we will contact all of those little leagues, and we will find out who the leadership is, and then we'll call and we'll ask them if they'd like us to be a sponsor. They've never, ever told me no. Don't settle for your name and print on the back of a jersey. Offer to pay extra to have your logo or your website address on the back of those jerseys. And then I would do, you know, these are the little things that cost you no money after you spend the $250, but they make $250 being a typical sponsorship price. But they make the impact of your sponsorship huge. If you write a $250 check to sponsor a Little League team and that's all you do, you just wasted $250. But if you interact with that team, you're going to have a great opportunity. Who's better at giving a pep talk than the martial arts instructor? We give them all the time. So ask to show up on the first day of practice and give a pep talk on focus. Don't try to sell them anything. Don't try to offer any services. Don't tell them about your lessons. Just come, and because this is your team. You're as a sponsor of that team. You're now a member of that team, and you want to see your team succeed. So showing up on that day and being a part of the team by giving a motivational speech is a thrilling way to start the season and a great way for everybody to learn who you are and personalize your sponsorship. When that season is over, those same kids are going to be looking for things to do. Make sure you know when the games are, and for sure attend the end of the season party. You may even suggest that the party be held at your academy. If it's not held at your own martial arts school, wherever it is, show up and pay for all the food, buy all the pizzas, be there and be a part of the process of the celebration of your team's achievements for the season. When I attend those parties, I give a uniform and a week of lessons to each and every player and tell them that their siblings and parents are welcome to train for free during that same period. You know, we're a team, we're a family, right? So I'm part of the team. I want to make sure that I illustrate that throughout the season. And, here's a great one. Did you know that both Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts have self-defense badges that they have to earn? So every year when school starts, new Girl Scout troops and Boy Scout troops are given their designations and their new leadership. So call the district offices and get involved. Show up for each of those Cub Scout dens and pack meetings and give us a Stranger Danger seminar so they can all earn their badge. And, again, getting your name out in the community as somebody who's a self-defense expert. And all of this costs you no money. This is the great marketing. My vision for my company's future marketing is all the great things I do in the community and the great things that my students do in the community. Here's a page from Guerrilla Marketing. We have strategic alliances with our competitors, not our martial arts competitors, but I have draw boxes and lead boxes in the local dance and gymnastics schools as well as the after-school tutoring companies all over town. They're servicing the same people I am. I have their boxes in my academy so that I can promote their businesses. We cross-promote each other's businesses. And if the 70% of my junior students are boys, that means that 70% of the ballet schools probably got girls. that means we can help each other. And with the right language, you can convince them to cross-promote with you. Next on my list is to tell you about networking. Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, that kind of thing. Rarely has it led to direct sales very often, but what I find is that these are some of the movers and shakers in my community, and they will go tell the community that I am the place to go when you need martial arts lessons. And I also find that having these relationships opens doors for me in my community when I need help. So when I needed help getting a tournament into a local hotel that wasn't sure they wanted to let me use their ballroom, a couple of phone calls to some of my networking friends, and I was able to get in. Next on my list, and I promise you, we're not far from Twitter and Facebook. Hey, Kristen, before I move on, do we have any questions online?
We do have one online question. It's from Vancouver. They would like to know how often do they need to update their website.
Okay. And we're definitely – that's on the list. If you'll be patient, I promise you that's on the list. Updating your website is something you've got to do. And doing it the right way and not the wrong way is really, really going to matter. So when we get to that section, I'll make sure to highlight it. We're not far off either.
Okay.
So, again – grassroots marketing is old marketing, but we're putting a new spin on it because the old methods don't work. Another one that we get a lot of mileage out of is silent auctions. And a lot of the schools in my area and churches in my area do silent auctions to raise funds, and they'll come to me, ask me for a free week or free month's membership. And, of course, we're more than happy to give away a uniform and a free month's membership or a free week membership. But I don't want just one student out of that, the winner of the auction. That's not good enough for me. I'm trying to get 10 students. And so here's a phrase I want everyone to write down. The fortune is in the follow-up. Following up is huge. So you can't just throw a uniform and a gift certificate for a free month of lessons on the front counter of your academy to the person who's requesting an auction item. You have to have a professional tabletop display prepared. And all you need is a little time at Kinko's and you can get this done. Or FedEx, I guess it's called these days. But take a lead box, take a tabletop flyer. So we had a flyer and we put a foam core back on it with an easel mount. And we put that and the uniform. And basically we set up a trade show style booth at the silent auction. And we even offer to run the booth. And ostensibly that is so that we can pump up the price for our charity auction, but really I'm there to make contacts. So people come in, they bid, they don't win, they get a chance to talk to me. They're clearly interested in lessons or they wouldn't have bid. I'm going to capture their phone numbers, I'm going to capture their email addresses, and I'm going to market to them. So now the person who won the auction becomes my student, and the 4 or 5 or 6 or sometimes 10 people who tried to win the auction get contacted from me. And so silent auctions are a great way to get anywhere from 12 to 15 new students a year, every year for us. So who do you go to? Start with everyone who donated last year. Hopefully you've kept a list of everyone you've given an auction item to last year and you're ready to call them again for this year's auction. Don't wait for them to call you. Also ask for auction referrals. Do they know anybody else who has this type of auction going on throughout the year? Because many of these people who work in junior league and service leagues around the town, they participate in multiple events similar. And then last on my list before we talk about the online world is community involvement. And like I said earlier, this is where I'm taking my company in the next year, in the next 5 years. I plan on making my school's efforts in my community the number one method of teaching my community about the benefits of training in my school. So my students will participate alongside with their instructor in Habitat for Humanity. We'll be there during fun runs and things like that to pass water to the runners and have our school be recognized as somebody who values good fitness. And here's a really good one. Your town has a 4th of July parade coming up. We can march in our uniforms with a banner with our company's website and logo for free, and we can reach out to our entire town for free. So, you know, those are just old methods and some twists on old methods that I think really matter. I think if you're not doing some of those things, you're really probably being a little bit irresponsible with how you spend your time. And it really, these are not Facebook and Twitter, although very, very valuable, and my company's website, very, very valuable. They're not the the holy grail of marketing. Marketing is definitely a multi-tiered approach as far as the way we look at it. So, but I know that a lot of people are really looking for online stuff, and you do have to manage your company's web presence. This includes your company's website, its Google search optimization, as well as your use of the major social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, et cetera. So let's start with this. If your company doesn't have a web page, you got to get one. I assume that you're all professionals and you have a web page. If you don't, you need to get one. If you have one and someone did it for you, or if you did it for yourself, you may want to rethink that. I hate my current web page. I've hired a new web page company and a professional service. It's cost me over $7,000 to use this service. I can tell you this. My advice to you is to hire someone who does this for a living. Member Solutions, for example, has a very inexpensive web service. They can help you design a web page for your company, and much less than the number that I just described. So if you're on a budget or if you're looking for some help because you don't know where to turn, I definitely recommend following the lead of the Member Solutions folks. We need to learn how to optimize the search results for Google and Yahoo, and a little bit of internet searching will help you with that. Basically, what I can tell you, my preliminary research suggests, is that the more often you update your website, the more often you'll get hits to the top of your Google search page. So when people search the keywords that you want them to look for, you're more likely to be at the top of that search list if you're constantly updating your website. So what I would tell the person who posted the question is, number one, you should probably update your website, your Facebook, and your Twitter daily. And it doesn't have to be huge. It can be a comment. It can be an inspirational quote. It can be, hey, the students did a great job on the mat last night. Johnny Smith, that's the most push-ups I've ever seen a 9-year-old do in my life. Great job. Just these little attaboy comments are great for just keeping your presence known on the web. So if you're able to, I suggest having a blog on your website where you provide inspirational leadership. And, you know, we all don't necessarily always have time to sit down and think up a new blog entry every day. So it would be conceivable that you could sit down once a month and produce 10 to 20 blog entries in a day that are a paragraph long, and then schedule their delivery on your blog all month long. So back to real quick search engine optimization, because that kind of falls in with what we were just talking about. There are companies that will sell you their services for optimizing search engine optimization. Some seem to work, others not so much. So really definitely be careful if you hire someone to do that. I can tell you that a lot of it has to do with the keywords that are listed on your web page. So although I teach Taekwondo as my primary discipline, I make sure that all other disciplines' names are embedded somewhere on my site so that when someone types Sugar Land Kung Fu, which we don't teach, I still want my name to show up near the top of the list. So the word Kung Fu is listed somewhere in the body of my website. And these are the kind of things that help get you near the top. I would definitely tell you that those things like martial arts, your town's name, karate, kung fu, self-defense, those are good. It's a good start. But what I really want to let you wrap your brain around is that I'm not just going after the martial arts customer specifically, but in fact, if you search anger management or child psychologist or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, I want my school's Google ad or my website to be near the top of your page. I want a parent looking for ADHD answers to be reminded that my academy provides some of those answers. And so I don't stop with martial arts-specific keywords, but in fact, I focus in on the benefits of my training in my academy and make sure that those keywords show up as well. Also, if you're using these methods, you better track your efforts. My first Google AdWords bill was $500, and we weren't properly tracking our ads, so I had no idea if my $500 bill was making me any money. Now we track it, and I'll also tell you that we cycle in and cycle out of Google AdWords. We found that seasonally, it makes more sense for us to be in Google AdWords versus year-round. But one of the things that we definitely want to do there is make sure that we're optimizing those search results thoroughly. Let's talk next about let me backtrack a little bit. Where I lost my train of thought is that we want to make sure we know how people heard about our school. And so you have to train yourself and your staff to always ask, how did they hear about your school? Otherwise, you're just throwing money out the window. Now, on to Twitter and Facebook. First and foremost, if you're not on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, you're not just behind the times. It could be argued that you're being irresponsible. So when this call is over, if you're not a member of those three organizations, which, by the way, are free, I want you to hang up and I want you to commit yourself to getting your company exposure on those sites. Also, you should include YouTube. It's a little known fact, but YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. Not Yahoo, not Bing. First comes Google, second comes YouTube. So your company needs to have a YouTube presence. And this is good because everything interacts with everything else. If you shoot a YouTube video on how to tie your belt so that your students can tie their stinking belt and you don't have to tie them all, I can't be the only guy that has that problem. So if there's a video on your YouTube site, how to tie your belt, and then that's embedded on your company's web page as an update to your web page, you've solved multiple problems at once. Number one, the cute little child that tied their belt that day is going to have that video forwarded to grandparents and neighbors and friends. And if your company's logo, phone number, and website are in that video somewhere, it's going to possibly produce new sales for you. And we'll talk about that more in just a minute. But you're solving two problems at once. You're giving yourself a YouTube presence. You're giving yourself an opportunity to update your own personal web page or your school's web page with that same content. So I really encourage you to do those kinds of things. Google has just started its own social networking site as a competitor to Facebook. It's called Buzz. I think the jury's still kind of out as to whether they can unseat Facebook as the next networking site. I typically would say don't bet against Google, but Facebook's got a pretty strong hold. Facebook and Twitter seem to be the number one and number two social media outlets. And I'll tell you this, I have a personal Facebook page, and I have a corporate fan page for my company. And I also have a fan page for the philanthropy wing of my company, which is a separate organization. So I have the Sugar Land Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu Academy, and then I have Martial Artists on a Mission. And Martial Artists on a Mission has its own website, martialartistsonamission.com, and Martial Artists on a Mission has its own Facebook page. And this is the philanthropy wing of my company. So when my company goes out into the community and does good things, they do so on behalf of martialartistsonamission.com. And that allows me, by the way, to avoid looking like I'm a commercial business promoting myself, but instead doing good in the community because it's the charity wing of my company and still getting exposure for my academy. So I do think that you need a personal Facebook page just because I think Facebook is a great way to connect with family and friends and business contacts. And then your company needs its own fan page. But be careful with what you put on your personal page as well as who you make your friends. A very conservative approach might be to not make any of your customers your friend on Facebook. I have a fondness for a gentleman in our industry. His name is Mike Mertens, and many of you may know him. About a decade ago, he gave a seminar that still guides my behavior today. Even more so is it relevant in the age of social media, and it was told so long ago. But in Mike's town, there was a local newspaper, and there was a feature each week called Someone You Should Know. And they'd write a small article on community leaders, the fire chief or the police, you know, or the mayor. Well, Mike got featured as the local martial arts instructor, and his picture and a nice article about him were on every coffee table in town. So he tells the story that shortly after this article was written, he got cut off while driving his car, and he was tempted to give the one-finger salute to the person, and then his dear wife reminded him that, hey, honey, you're someone you should know. And the point is that everybody knows who you are now. You can't be seen doing those kinds of things. So with that in mind, you have to manage your online persona very, very carefully. You know, you have to be careful who you are friends with on Facebook. I do not accept friend requests from my minor students. Never. I'm a bit of a celebrity in my town due to my occupation and the number of people I've worked with over the years. And so people are tuning into my status updates on Facebook daily. So it's not okay to use derogatory language, even on your personal page. It's not okay to mention behavior of yours that is inconsistent with the moral code of your academy. You do more damage to your reputation, and it's done on an exponential level because everything you do online is viral. If I forward it to my friend and he forwards it to two friends and they forward it to two friends, now, before you know it, 100 people know about the things that you're doing online. So let that be a powerful thing for good, but not for bad. The main point I want to make about social media is that content is king. You've got to update your page regularly. Text, photos, video, and here's where everything ties in together. If the baseball team you sponsored won the championship, or maybe they just ended their season well and you want to congratulate them, do it on your page. Remember, it's your team. You sponsored it. Now send a link to your video congratulations to everybody that was on your baseball team. Send that video to everybody on the team. Will they view it? I think they will. Will they forward it to grandparents, aunts, and uncles, and neighbors? I believe they will. And if your company's name, logo, and or website and phone number is included somewhere on that video, then you give opportunity to multiply your efforts and gain new students from the process. Now, I've been talking a lot, and I've been talking really fast, so Kristen, I'm going to take another break and see if there's any online questions.
Okay, we do have one question from Westchester, New York.
Okay. And why does that guy talk too fast?
No, it's not that. It relates back to what you were talking about demos before. And the question is, where do you provide your demos and how often do you provide them?
Well, I think the key is having your ear to the ground in your own community. My city, the city of Sugar Land, Texas, has a Facebook page. I visit there regularly to make sure I know what's going on in my town. So we're going to have a huge celebration of my town for 4th of July. So I found out about what the plans were early and contacted people at the city to say, hey, we're a part of your community, and we've got a great show we can put on for you. Would it be all right if we came and did a demonstration? In addition, if I can tout some of the other folks that have done some member solutions calls for a minute, I highly recommend the Verbal Judo program. And when I listened to the Verbal Judo call, and within 30 minutes I had ordered my Verbal Judo package. And I can do demonstrations on the topic of Verbal Judo in any elementary school, any community group. I call them. I don't wait for them to call me. So I think that the answer is, who's your target market and where are they and what are they doing? Go find them and go be a part of that deal. So the traditional old school demonstration, I would say that if you want to stand on a stage and break boards and then call people up and give a mat chat, as I've described, what my staff will do probably a week out of school, when school's about to start, about a week before, is they'll call every elementary and junior high school in my community, and there's probably 20 of those, and they'll find out when the annual fundraiser is for the school. In our town, that's a big fundraiser, would be like a carnival, and they would have the local dance school and the local gymnastics school and the local karate school, and we're all going to stand on stage and do a show. And that's free entertainment for them and free advertising for us. So we won't wait for them to call and invite us. We'll call them and ask them, when is your event? We want to make sure we put it on our calendar, and we want to make sure we're there. And then I always ask for referrals. So if I do a demonstration, whoever my host is, I always ask, is there any other organizations you're involved in that might like to have a demonstration similar to this one. Another great one in the summertime is the library. Call your local library and ask if they have a summer reading program for children. Go to the library and read a book. Terrence Webster Doyle does a great book on martial arts for children and nonviolent solutions to conflict resolution. And you can go and read that children's book to a group of kids at your local library and at the same time market your academy. So I think it requires a lot of work on your part. If you're willing to pick up the phone and call these people and go visit them and ask them, your community is full of people that would like you to visit and do a demonstration. So I could talk for hours on that one, Kristen. So if you want to have another conference call in a month on that one, I'm more than happy to do that. Where we left off was you're managing your online presence and making sure to constantly update your content. In addition, I think that you want to do things that make your videos, your photos, and your text viral. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to include something personalized for your students. So if I have most martial arts classes start with some version of a student oath. Well, that's something that some students struggle with learning in my academy. So if I have a cute child who knows the oath, demonstrate that on video, and we post it on our Facebook page, quote-unquote, as an assistance to other students, it's very likely that that's going to get forwarded to friends, family, and neighbors, and people who don't know about us are going to find out the great things we're doing with children when they watch this child perform this task on video. They'll be encouraged to say, oh, that's wonderful. That's something that I would like to do for my child. Tom Kalos, another great martial arts hero of mine, taught me the martial arts success system, which is a little mantra that my students say discussing goal settings. And I'll give you the five-second version. Goals we set are goals we get. Know what you want. Have a plan and a success coach. Take consistent action. Review your progress and renew your goals. That little speech is given by every blue belt in my program as part of their belt exam, and there are physical movements with their hands that go along with. So that video would be a nice thing for me to put on my Facebook page so that my blue belt students could learn how to properly demonstrate for their test. But the featured student in that video gets virally sent over and over to friends and family and neighbors. And those same friends and family and neighbors say, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that's what she was learning in the martial arts program over there at the Sugar Land Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu Academy. Maybe our son should learn about goal setting, too. And the next thing you know, we have more and more interest in our academy based on our efforts online. So these are some examples that I would suggest. Now, I do have some warnings, and those warnings include not posting too much content or too much of the same type of content. I have a friend, and I'll be honest, I'm gonna spare his name on this call so he doesn't get embarrassed, but he's in the martial arts industry, and he does very good at updating all of his social media stuff. It could be argued that he does it too well. I get video updates from him on his Facebook, Twitter, and blog every day, sometimes two and three times a day, and at some point I think it becomes irrelevant because you can't read all that. You can't drink from a fire hose. So when things are coming out too fast, you begin to resemble a spammer, and you become irrelevant as people begin to ignore your posts. So be really careful about that. Also, make sure that everything that you do online or hard copy gives your customers information on how to find you on Facebook and Twitter. And we've all received correspondence from companies that market to us saying, look for us on Facebook and Twitter. So if you send out a constant contact email, make sure it says, look for us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm told, and I'm going to research this week, that there's a way that on your Facebook fan page, people can subscribe to your constant contact email list. So this is a great way to have these services work together. You can buy ads on Facebook. We don't talk about this enough. People talk about Facebook as a free opportunity, but I want to tell you that buying ads on Facebook is extremely effective. There's two ways to do it. You can pay for exposure, or you can pay by the click. And by click, in my opinion, is superior. You're going to locate all the keywords that you already use to optimize your Google search, and you're going to include them in your Facebook search. And when people, those of us who have used Facebook, you can click a button that says, I like that. And when I clicked a button that said, I like Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, I began receiving ads for Jiu-Jitsu and MMA and supplies. And if it's working for me at being marketed to me, then quite obviously we can use this same thing. So my town's name is Sugar Land, Texas. I'm going to make sure that Sugar Land and martial arts and kids and all the things that are related to what it is we do are going to be lead people to my page and my ad. So you can also bid on how much you want to pay for those clicks. People don't know that you can do that. It's a bidding process because some businesses are benefit more from social media than others, and Facebook is happy to charge them more and you less. And you can successfully bid much lower than the default fee that Facebook suggests, for example. There are, at your local bookstore, many, many books on the subject of social media and how you can improve your online presence. And I will tell you that some of them are okay, but I really believe strongly that social media is so young and no one, no matter who they are or what they tell you, is really an expert on this subject yet. Really, I think the best way to learn about it and how to get good at it is to follow companies whose marketing strategies you already admire and then emulate them. So I follow Starbucks, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Corona, and a few others because I respect their marketing efforts. And if whatever they do is possibly an adaptation I might choose for my own academy. Interestingly enough, we talked about community involvement. Pepsi's got a huge campaign where they'll help pay for community involvement. And all you have to do is go online and sign up for it. And I found that out through their social media outlet. So that's something I want to get involved in with Pepsi. One book that I would recommend that you read if you haven't already is Guerrilla Marketing. It's an old book, but it's extremely relevant in today's age. The author's name is J. Conrad Levinson. If you haven't read it, you should. I try to read it once a year just to keep it fresh in my own mind. And then, Kristen, I'm almost done. The last thing that I'd like to do is just, for those of you who are listening to this call, I'd like to ask you for your help. You know, like I said at the beginning, I am not a bright man, and if you have ideas for me, I would love to hear them. What's working in your school? Tell me. I want to learn from you. So I had promised my email address earlier. It's rellis, R-E-L-L-I-S, at sltkd.com, sugarlandstaekwondo.com. And I would be more than thrilled to spend as much time as necessary to fill in the blanks for anyone who's been kind enough to listen to the call. So, Kristen, that's all I got.
Okay, great. Great presentation, and I thank you for your time. I'm looking to see if we have any other questions, and it doesn't appear that we do. If there are any questions that someone thinks of after the presentation, feel free to send your question to consulting@membersolutions.com, and we'll make sure that the question gets sent to Rick. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in this afternoon, and thank you, Rick, for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Okay. Everyone have a great day. Take care.
Bye-bye.